This podcast is a production of Transworld Radio United Kingdom. For further information, please visit our website www.twr.org.uk.
Hello, this is TWR Today, and I'm Ian Marron. Have you ever been in that situation where you can't get a song out of your mind? Well, a few years ago, I was putting the finishing touches to a sermon, and a tune kept going round and round in my head. Now, you're probably thinking, no problem, just ask the worship leader to add that song to the set for the next day's worship. Tell them that God inspired you. Well, I did sort of feel inspired. I couldn't dismiss the song from my thoughts. The only problem was that it wasn't a worship song. It was the Doobie Brothers and Long Train Running, and it goes like this. That's what kept going around in my mind. Now, you may or may not know that the chorus of that song contains the words, "Without love, where would you be now?" So I entered the song into a search engine, and I was surprised to find that there was a Christian version of that song, a parody of the original Doobie Brothers track. A little bit more research, and I discovered that the Christian band, Apologetics, had over 15 CDs of parody songs on release at that time, and that they were incredibly popular in the US. Now, I've worked in the music business, and I'm a Christian, and, well, how come I don't know about this? A little bit more research, and I discover that there are quite a few Christian parody acts in the US. And I think, why don't we know in the UK about this kind of music? And then I discovered that we sort of do, because we use some of their material for our church puppet ministries. But why don't we use it anywhere else? Anyway, we sang Long Train Running, or Love Ain't Nothing, as Apologetics call it, in our service the next day. I mean, what else could I do? This programme is a brief look into the world of Christian parody artists. Our first guest is Mark Bradford. And here is his version of Foreigner's hit, I Want to Know What Love Is. Bradford is a wonderfully gifted musician and worship leader and a parody artist. And Mark, you're probably best known in the UK under the title of your albums, actually, RPM or Righteous Pop Music. And a lot of puppet ministry over here uses your music. So, Mark, I'm wondering, are you happy to be known as the guy who writes music for puppets?
Yes, absolutely I am. It's a great ministry. Typically what happens with puppet ministry is that teenagers in a church are the ones who are actually the puppeteers. The church will have an adult leader who puts together a puppet ministry team, and it's usually teenagers who comprise that team. And then they go to children's ministry, and the teens are involved in ministry to the children. And then they also go out into their community and put on puppet performances and minister in their community. And it's a great way to get teenagers involved in children's ministry. And a lot of teenagers really develop a heart for children's ministry as a result of their involvement in puppetry.
Now, I don't want it to sound like I spend all of my time in puppet shows, but I don't think I've ever seen a Christian puppet show that hasn't used one of your tracks.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's great to know that it gets all around the world.
I see on your website, Mark, that you started singing in church at age 8. Was that, would you say, the start of God calling you into ministry?
I suppose I could say it was the start of a call in my life, because I knew right away, as soon as I realized that I had the ability to sing, I knew that that was what I wanted to do. And growing up in the church, I grew up in the Nazarene church. That was where I learned how to get up in front of people and sing. You know, so many famous pop singers now started singing in church. The church is a real good training ground, because young kids get up and sing in front of an audience and they get the confidence to be on stage. But yeah, I mean, I didn't obviously had no idea what I would be doing later in life, but I always did feel, and growing up and all through grade school and high school and when I got into college, I really did feel a call on my life to be a Christian writer, performer.
Did you play in a band before it became your full-time work?
Yeah, I put a band together in college. Then we performed at campus events and we did my original songs.
Was that Christian material or
yeah.
You played in a secular band as well?
Not the kind of band that tries to make it in the music business per se. As far as serious bands that are trying to do something, and I've really only done Christian bands, but as an adult, in order to supplement my living, I've performed in bands that performed at weddings and things like that, and we did a variety of pop music.
Now, as I said in the introduction, you are a gifted musician, and you don't just perform parodies, do you?
Well, I have 5 CDs of original Christian music, the latest of which is a praise and worship CD, which is a mixture of original songs and hymn arrangements. It's called Set Free to Worship. All of my albums of original music are available on iTunes and in different download sites, and they're also available on my website. The style of Set Free to Worship is in a kind of a classic rock style, and the whole concept of it for me is to arrange the hymns and write the originals in such a way that they're easy for congregations to learn and sing, and especially the hymns. The band is rocking out, but the melody of the hymn is exactly like people know it. They're able to sing it the way they know it. So there's no difficulty in trying to teach a new hip version of a hymn where there's all the syncopation and, you know, the congregation is thrown because they don't know what's coming next.
How did you get into writing parodies of pop music?
I got into it really sort of by accident. I also have done a lot of parody work for radio stations here in the United States. In fact, for the first 18 years of my career or so, that was where I made most of my living. I discovered back in the late 80s that I had a talent for doing parodies, because I had the ability to write good lyrics and I had the ability to produce the tracks. I produced the tracks myself. I had a good enough musical ear that I could figure out what each of the instruments were playing and recreate it. So it was just that I discovered that I had the ability to do it. The opportunity arose to do it and to do it for a living, and I preferred doing that to working in a print shop, which is what I did before. So I just felt like it was an opportunity that God provided me to do music for a living.
As you say, you're clearly not going to be a printer and possibly not a secular recording artist. What is it that God has called you to do?
Well, back in college, I was specifically called to be a Christian singer-songwriter, to write original songs and sing original songs in a Christian venue. I thought I was going to be able to do that for a living.
Right.
I thought I was going to be Andre Crouch or Michael W. Smith, you know.
Yeah.
But not everybody gets to be those guys. So in my 20s and 30s, I really was given an example in my own church of someone who could have had that kind of career but chose to focus their ministry in a local church. And so that's kind of what I have done over my adult life. And now interim worship leading is one thing that I've been doing that I really feel like God is calling me to. When someone in that position leaves and goes to another church, and the church is without a person in that position, I come in and fill in until they have a full-time person. I'm also traveling around doing concerts in churches and conducting worship for revival campaigns and things like that.
I wonder if there's any way in which you see your ministry as making popular music more acceptable to church folk.
No, it's not making popular music acceptable to church folk, except that I have had a lot of people tell me that my Christian parodies of popular songs are the only versions of those songs that they'll let their kids listen to. But even then, we try very hard with One Way Street not to even parody any songs that people would find the original objectionable. The songs that we use are typically pretty already fairly acceptable to church people unless they just don't like secular music at all. I do, I guess, see myself more as a worship leader who incorporates parodies in my work. When I go out and do a concert, I don't just do my original songs and I don't just do parodies. I do a mixture of both.
Before we go, Mark, I was wondering, what's your favorite style of music to parody?
Well, probably because of my age, I enjoy classic rock. Album rock from the 70s and 80s. That's what I like best. But there is a lot of current music that I like and enjoy doing and look forward to doing. I particularly enjoyed doing the Coldplay song Viva La Vida. They're a great band and really enjoyed doing that song.
Yeah, that is a great track. And Mark, what I'm going to do is I'll put your website details on our website so that folk can go there and order your albums and listen to some of your demos. And in a moment or two, what we're going to do is speak to Ron Perry. He specializes in parodies of songs from the 50s and 60s. Then in the next program, I'll be talking to Jay Jackson from Apologetics. Do you know those guys, Mark?
I know about their work and admire their work, and it'd be great to do a tour with them sometime or something.
Well, let's link you with Apologetics through the use of another Doobie Brothers song, and this one is from your latest Christmas CD. Thanks for joining me, Mark.
He's got a message for me and you. Angel's gonna tell you about it now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen to the angels. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen to the angels. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen to the angels.
That was a selection of parodies from Ron Perry, who works under the title Happy Days Productions. Ron, I noticed that you parody music from the 50s and 60s, and, well, is there a link between that and your ministry name and the TV show of the same name, Happy Days?
No, well, it's not connected to that at all. But the idea for that was from Psalm 34, where he says, if you want to see good days, the basic English translation says, if anyone wants to enjoy life and see happy days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Then that's verse 12. Enjoy life and see happy days. So I got the idea from that. That's why we call it Happy Days Productions.
We're actually recording this interview during a storm, and there is a little bit of interference on the phone line, so I hope our listeners will bear with us. Now, I know that you describe yourself as a happy guy, and that you want to bring joy back into the Christian experience.
That's right. In Psalm 51, I was reading that one morning in my prayer time, David prayed, he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And I was praying that, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm going to use you to restore to my people the joy of my salvation. So that's my goal, is to bring the joy of salvation, and I want people to taste and see that the Lord is good and taste that.
That's a good way to use your obvious gifts. Life hasn't always been happy days for you, though, has it, Ron? Why don't you tell us a little bit of your testimony?
I was a entertainer, musician, recording artist. I started out when I was 14. I put my first band together in junior high school. We were called the Crescents. We were booked up every weekend. I've been booked, I think, every weekend since then. And then when I was 15, we had a band called the Bees, and we made a record with Domino Records, and we started touring the country, toured all over, and I've been doing that ever since. And then I went into, when I became of age, to work in establishments where liquor is sold. I started to do that. I had an agent in Hollywood, and he booked me on all these circuits of nightclubs and hotel lounges and different things like that. At first, I was just all gung-ho for the music, and I didn't want to drink or I didn't want to do anything like that. But, you know, when you're in that kind of an atmosphere all the time, people want to buy you a drink, and the next thing you know, I'm drinking, and they're lining up the drinks on the bar for me, and I became an alcoholic. My drummer introduced me to pot. I started smoking on the breaks, and we started smoking pot, and the next thing I know, people were putting drugs in our tip bowl, and I went down the drain of, just like many people did, of drugs and alcohol abuse. I wound up at the age of 24, just completely wrecked by drugs and alcohol. I've been to jail a few times for drug charges. And I landed in a program called Teen Challenge in Riverside, California. And when I went into the program, I was just completely, my brain was fried. I couldn't talk anymore and just shuffled along, and I was just completely destroyed. But in Teen Challenge, I heard the gospel. One morning, I heard this scripture, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And when I heard that scripture, it was like someone turned the lights on inside of me, and I became alert, because I was not alert at all. I was just in a fog. And I suddenly just brightened up, and I looked up at the chaplain, and I started to get some hope. Shortly after that, I prayed with some people there, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart and to save me, and he completely delivered me. One day in the chow hall, a bunch of guys gathered around me and laid hands on me and started praying for me, and it's just, I felt like electricity going through me for like 5 minutes straight. When I got up out of that chair, it was like I had never done drugs. My reflexes were back and everything, and so that's where I started my life for Jesus.
And I know that you didn't waste any time getting out on the road and testifying to others about the good news of the Saviour. When was it, though, that you realized that you could use sanctified oldies to help you do that?
I would go into a grocery store or a convenience store to get something, you know, and they would be playing a certain song which has been around for decades, and they, you know, these songs have a hook, and you can't get them out of your mind. That's the reason why they're still playing them after 40 years. They're catchy. I would be on my way to go sing or minister somewhere, And I was just praying and preparing my heart to go minister to people. And then I'd hear this song in the convenience store, and I'd come out singing it. It would just get stuck in there, and you can't get rid of it. So instead of trying to just tear it out of there, I decided, you know what, I'll just fix it. I'll just change it, and I'll sing this to the Lord. I heard that song, Baby, I'm Yours, by Barbara Lewis. And I was coming out of the convenience store with my iced tea or whatever I had, and I couldn't stop singing it, Baby, I'm Yours, Baby, I'm Yours. So I just said, you know, I'll just change it to Jesus, I'm Yours. And I started singing that to the Lord, and I mean, I just experienced His presence. I sang that all the way there. Couldn't get it out of my mind, but I just worshiped the Lord with that song. And I thought, man, you know, you can worship the Lord with something like that. Every song I heard. I think I got to a thing where I was trying to fight it so hard. I'm trying to just like, oh, I rebuke you, come out, you know. And I got so in a frenzy over that. And then I thought, well, you know, I can just change the word. And I don't have to go through all that frenzy. And I can still worship the Lord, and His presence still comes when I do that.
I don't think a lot of folks realize out there just how many pop songs were originally gospel songs.
Right, especially the Motown songs. A lot of the Motown songs were gospel songs. And a lot of the Motown singers started off singing in churches and doing gospel until money came along. And yeah, so I probably took some of those Motown songs and turned them back to the way they originally were. I don't change them that much. I just take the idea that the song already had and just change the perspective of it and sing it to God instead of singing it to Sugar Pie Honey Bunch or whoever it was they were singing it.
So how would you describe your music ministry?
I'm a Christian sanctifying secular music. That's not all I do. I have CDs of my own music too, but I really do enjoy doing it, and I like it for one reason, because I'm an evangelist. You know, my heart is to win people to Jesus. And I've gone out into public arenas since I became a Christian, and I've done church music. And people run for their lives, you know, and they start hearing church music usually. But I started doing the Sanctified Oldies. A crowd would come around and listen, and by the time they figured out what I was actually doing, it was too late because they liked it, and they were enjoying it, and now the Spirit of God was starting to move on them.
Of course, good music never really ages and always does have a broad appeal. What kind of music do you get asked to perform the most?
Some crowds, they just go for the Motown. Some of them want to hear more Beatles. It just depends on the age of the crowd. You know, some crowds like to hear the 50s. I have one Sanctified Oldies Volume 2, which is a lot of doo-wop 50s songs. And so that goes over great with certain crowds. It just depends on the crowd.
Found my thrill just doing God's will. I'm doing God's will. I'm praying for you. Only you can make my world seem right.
It's been a real pleasure talking to you, but before I let you go, I noticed that on your website, amongst your family pictures, that there's one of you as a young boy, and there's a guy sat in a chair, I presume it's your dad, and he's holding a guitar. And I was wondering, were your parents your musical inspiration? Did they encourage you?
My dad and my mom both play guitar and sing, and my mom plays piano, so I was raised in a musical home. Matter of fact, when my mom was pregnant for me, she was learning to play the guitar, so that guitar was right up against her belly, and that was the first thing I heard. I came out of there looking for a guitar. My dad taught me the first guitar chords I ever knew, and they still play and sing, and my sister, she sings in churches, does like what I do. Our family reunions were just music. Everybody brought musical instruments, and we always had a huge jam session every time we got together with our cousins and uncles. So that was just the way I was raised.
We've been looking at the phenomenon of Christian parody music that's well established in the US, not so established over here. My guests today have been Mark Bradford, who records under the title RPM, Righteous Pop Music, and whose music is probably best known in the UK for being used by Puppet Ministry. Mark is also a worship leader and a recording artist in his own right. And our other guest today, Ron Perry of Happy Days Productions, who specialises in the sanctified oldies of the 50s and 60s, but who also records his own material. Please visit their websites. We'll put the details on our website. That's www.twr.org.uk. And incidentally, you can also download this programme there to listen to it again. Next time on this programme, we'll be looking at the work of Apologetics, who are so well known in the US that they are billed as that parody band. So please join me for that if you can. We'll be playing out with Apologetics and their version of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Thanks very much for joining me, Ian Maron, on TWR today. Please be sure to join us next time to listen to more about the parody music scene in the US.
Devil went down to Jordan, he was looking for a show to steal. He was in a bag, he came to find the people willing to make it real. And he came across the Son of Man, saw him in the desert and praying to God. And the devil jumped upon a chance to tempt him, said, boy, let me tell you, it's hot. I guess you wouldn't show it, but I can tell you're craving food. And kid, I'm scared this desert air might get the best of you. Now, you ain't been eating your victuals, boy, but now your dinner is due. So if you really got sun, you turn these stones to bread and I'll butter it for you. The Lord said, I am hungry, but that would be a sin. Cause it ain't by bread man's gonna be fed, but by the word God's given him. John the Baptist washed the Lord, and that's where it all starts. Cause Jesus left the Jordan, and the devil hit him hard. And if he wins, you get to walk on heaven's streets of gold. But if he sins, the devil gets your soul. Said, why don't you throw yourself off of this temple top as I watch you from below? Cause I'm sure you know that God will send all his angels to assist. And men will believe that you're him if they saw you did something like this. Said, we're tempting God, old son. And it's written down in that book right there, that thing should never be done. Shout for the mountain what God's done. The devil ain't a match for the rising sun. You can never tempt God, did you not know? Man, he doesn't live by bread alone. Said Jesus, if you'll just worship me, then I'll give you gold that glitters, every crown and all you see. Jesus said, devil, just turn on back, cause I'm never gonna buy your scam. I love God too much, I'm gonna resist. I suggest you better scram. And we said, shout for the mountain of what God's done. The devil ain't a match for the rising sun. And you can never tempt God, did you not know?